morning, everybody. We're ready to look at, moving on. Well, it's been a good week. We're all one day closer home. Any announcements? I see we have one here for the church council for Tuesday night. It's planned for 10. Any other special announcements? That's it today.
I have one. Wanda left me a message yesterday. She wants me to call a quick ladies' aid meeting. I don't see too many here today, but it's just one question we're going to ask. So just a quick ladies' aid meeting, and I'll ask the question she wanted asked, and we're done. Don't forget the love gift box back there for Tori Stottemeyer, who is having struggles. Tori's, I'm sure, well, I guess everybody was here last Sunday when I announced that Tori, she grew up in the church, and as our families expand, they move and whatever, but she, I'll never forget, I had her and her two siblings there in front of me. They look like identicals, but she needs a helping hand, and I think as a church we should show love, and what better way to serve and be the hands and feet in Jesus than to serve one of our children that have left this congregation. Now, she's not a child anymore. She's a mom herself. But we were thinking of gift cards to places to eat. I know they live in Fairfield. And he supposedly comes up from the city. So, I mean, he goes past Thurmont or any place like that. Or they do their grocery shopping at Walmart. But any little bit of love gift can help. What did Brother Don say? He always said, tuck a little something in that card. So let's try and tuck a little something in her cards, and we'll see that she gets it.
Are you going to let it there another week?
Yes.
You might want to take
those
weeks out.
No, I'll lock the box. I was going to ask her to take care of the box for me. But because we're waiting on some other. So thank you. And
yes,
as always, keep her in your prayers and the family.
Okay. Sydney Moser has volunteered to train whatever ladies wanted to know to make bread for communion bread. And she is going to do it here at the church because she said she's just not up to be in her house because she likes to plan all these little foods and everything. And I said, no, you just need to show us the bread. She said she'd be happy to. She's even bringing the supplies. It's going to be next month. I'm trying to find out how many want to do it. And then we'll get a date that rearranges because she said she's pretty much clear next month. So since she would like to donate her time and talent, I'd like to see how many show up to make the bread and the bacon.
You want to sign up, tell you?
Tell me. We don't need to sign up, Chief. Just tell me.
Any other announcements? Before we get to a prelude, there's something that I've always heard a lot about, and it's something we all need to be concerned about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine unto them. So are our lamps trimmed and brightly burning, and are we displaying the light of the Lord through our lives? We may have a prayer you there, young lady. Diane with that one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come unto thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. What a song. Praise God. A call to worship. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for another day. We thank you for your presence, for your word. We thank you for what Jesus has done on Calvary. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us, Lord, in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. But most of all, Father, we just invite you into this church, Lord, to enter our hearts, that we will shine as lights in dark places. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Amen. I'm hoping that we know this song. It's been around for a number of years, and I plan on leading it with guitar today, and guess what I forgot and left at home? Have you ever done that?
Never.
Good. I guess I have good company. So it's really brief, and I think it'll be good to do it through twice in case you don't know it. And I'll try to sing it out so that you can hear how it goes if you don't know it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
I think we need to do that again. And I think I need to lower it a little bit.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
How many of you sang this for the first time? The vast majority of you.
Yeah.
They don't remember.
Yeah,
probably. We used to do this with Dave, and then when I used to do it up front just to get them started, we did this.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
Okay.
So whoever was here, those times were...
So next week we'll say, try to remember the... Thanks for giving it a try.
But the Bible says the merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Mm-hmm. And isn't there enough sadness in the world that we need to show some joy?
Amen.
Praise God. At this time we will sing our first hymnal. Page 464, please. If you all want to stand up. How was nice, Sister Debbie?
Of quiet rest near to the heart of God.
5 and 6. I lie down and sleep. I awake, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though 10,000 assail me on every side. I call for stewardship. Who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He rewards them for what they have done. We thank You, Father, for this day. We thank You, Father, that You lend to us, Lord, just a portion, that we may give back to You, Lord, in joy and thanksgiving. That You would bless the hands, Lord God, that will give unto You, that it would go for the furtherance of Your kingdom in labor and love. We thank You and praise You, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the good Lord, joys and concerns. Are there any joys? Nobody's happy today?
I've got a joy, 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 joy
down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
I've got a joy, 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 joy
down in my heart. Down in my heart.
To stay.
Amen. Now, do we have any joys? Yes, young lady.
I'm thankful for the rain we got. Sunshine better, but we need the rain.
Yeah.
And that's my joy and the concern. I'd like to put one in the prayer list because two doctors told him this week he's got a heart murmur. After all the stuff he's had done, I can't imagine, but
he's just special.
Is that what it is? Could he be a little less special then?
Yes, young man.
I'm going to keep Doris on the prayer list.
Yes.
The Thurmont community this week has lost a pretty valued member. Robin Myers passed away, I think, a couple days ago. He went in for hip surgery and got an infection, and it didn't turn out well. And he was very affluent in the community. He was did a lot for the community, like Thurmont Emmitsburg Community Show, and he was involved heavily in the Grange, so... The community is going to miss him.
Yes, young man.
Yeah. My wife, Carol, has had two total shoulder replacements in the past couple of years, and the most recent one was, I think, less than a year ago, and she's still having enormous trouble with that shoulder. She came home from the Y. She goes to the YMCA 3 times a week. And just gets in the pool and does some exercises. And when she came home this past week, I mean, she was just groaning with agony. When she got up this morning, I wasn't surprised, and she said, I can't make it to church today. And so please remember her in your prayers. Her doctor who did the surgery, she tried to see him this past week, and he was out of the office. So hopefully next week or the week after, she'll be able to see him, and he'll come up with some reason for the other shoulder, no problems whatsoever. But this one that has been done more recently, she has just really struggled with.
That's Brother Frank.
Yes, I want to continue to keep my wife in her prayers. And also, last night, I think I heard this correctly, there was an attempt to assassinate the president.
Yeah.
And we want to pray that they'll bring peace and love and compassion to our United States as well as all the other countries in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I've been having trouble with my hip, and I'm not scheduled to go have it taken care of until July the 2nd, so I'll be suffering for a while. So I appreciate the prayers in that my behalf as well.
Any other purpose? All right, let's get the young man in the back.
I have a couple, brother. I want to keep my wife in prayer and stuff. Still going through some pain stuff for her back surgery. And next weekend is a fallen firefighters memorial of all the firefighters in the United States who died in the line of duty. Therefore, I'll be at next weekend in Emmitsburg. They're having a big, you know, honor the band, honor the members that died in the line of duty and fighting the fire. So keep them all, families all in prayers and theirs.
Yes, young lady.
Just keep my mom, Debbie, on the prayer list. She's battling some sinus and stuff like that. And supposed to have surgery on Tuesday, but not sure if it's going to happen if she doesn't get rid of the cold and stuff. So, and the Baker family, please.
Yes, sister.
I want to keep Jean in the prayer list. She's been in the hospital for about 5 days this week. It's a possibility she may get home today, so just keep her in her prayers. And Judy could also use help prayers, too.
Any other prayer requests? I have a short testimony. I got a really good report from the doctor this week. Everything is good. And I don't have to carry an oxygen tank anymore.
Hallelujah.
Well, it was an answer to prayer. And if you never carried an oxygen tank, you won't appreciate the air that you breathe. And a short testimony last Sunday, when we were at the pastor's appreciation banquet, I met someone that I haven't seen in 35 years.
Wow.
And he was one of many people that God used to help me in ministry. But also, I want to give thanks for the ladies, the Sunday school teachers, who also helped. And plus the music ministries and the prayer warriors, the people to help us all get to where we are today. Those who taught us Sunday school and taught us about Jesus. And even the simple little songs, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Maybe a child's song, but there's a lot of truth in it. Any other prayer requests? I just want to remember my family and their finances and their struggles. So we have a long list. I also got for Bob and Linda and for Ralph and Debbie and for our church family, our government, and lost family members. We need to remember them.
Yes.
The marriages, our soldiers, Jerome, Doris, Travis, Kathy, the pastor and his family, Debbie, and for our lost firefighters, but not just the firefighters, also the police officers who put their lives on the line, who do protect the public. And sometimes they become victims of someone's violent crime. But God knows all these prayer requests. So let's just take a few minutes, and if we forget them, God already knows before we even speak. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, that we can come to your presence, that we can boldly approach the throne through Jesus Christ. For each prayer request mentioned, Lord God, and for unspoken requests, Lord God, we just lift them all up to you, most of all for those who need salvation, for those who are lost, who can't seem to find their way. I ask for your divine Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, to intervene on their behalf, to reach out, Lord God, to a lost and dying world, that you would fulfill your word, that you said you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh. And Father, I just lift these people up today, Lord God, that you would bless them, that you would heal their bodies, meet their needs, for the physical, the spiritual, the financial, for those who are recovering from surgery or going to have surgery, Lord, that you would guide the doctors, but most of all, that you would give them peace in their heart to remind them, Lord, that you are with them, that you would comfort them, Father, in their trying times. And for those who have lost family members, and for those firefighters, Lord, and for all of our soldiers who have lost their lives, Lord, protecting our nation, that we have freedom, Lord God. And Father, for those unspoken requests, Lord God, for those who may be crying out in the night for you, Lord God, to intervene on their behalf. That you are a loving God, that you would show them, even in their darkest hour, that they're not alone. Thank you, Father, for answering the prayers of the past, present, and future. And there is nothing, Lord God, that were ever taken by surprise, that you knew all things before we even asked. And Lord, I pray for our church families, Lord, that you would strengthen them and bless them and meet the needs of their lives. And for all those, Father, who don't know you, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would just gently tug at their hearts, Lord God, because your word says, can any man be saved except the Spirit draw him? I just ask, Lord God, for grace and mercy upon their lives, all our unsaved family members, Lord God, who continue to go the way of darkness, that you would show them the way of light, that Jesus is the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And Father, that without you, where would we be? Thank you, Lord, for all the preachers and teachers and music ministries and all the prayer warriors in our past, Lord God, to have helped bring us to where we are today, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for each request. And I know, Father, by faith, that you're able to meet every need, Lord God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, we thank you, Lord. Our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Bradley, I just want to add Richard and Sherry and our friend Margaret Petticord that needs prayer too. She's 95 and she's in the life and she's just a wonderful person. So let's keep
going. What's her first name?
Well, I call her Bobby, but she's Margaret Petticord. And she's a wonderful Christian person. And she's really touched our life. So we'd like to have prayer for her.
Well, let's take a quick minute. Heavenly Father, we just ask that Margaret and all these family members, to you, Lord God, as she enters her final lap of the race, Lord God, that she can cross the finish line in the heaven to hear you say, well, good, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye in to the joy of thy Lord. That you would meet these needs, Lord God, and bless these families, Lord God. That you're able, Lord God, and we just lift them up to you, Father, that you would bless them. And be with him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you,
Bradley. Yes, at this time, if you would, please stand. Let's turn to page 262 for 268.
Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah.
this time, this young man was here with us for the Word of God.
This is the second message in a series of six messages on how we are called to follow Jesus. Last week we looked at a passage in the Gospel according to Matthew that listed five things that Jesus did, and I think that those are things that we need to be willing to do. And today, the focus is going to be on prayer, because one of the things that Jesus spent a lot of time doing was prayer. The bulletin says that I'm going to read that scripture there, and I'm going to before starting the message, but I want to start the message and then go to that scripture. You know, following Jesus, it seems like such an incredibly difficult thing. I mean, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that sounds like that might take a little bit of work to do, you know. And then I remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what do the scriptures say? And he said, well, I'm following the scriptures. And Jesus said, well, there's one more thing that you need to do. You need to give everything that you have to the poor and come and follow me. Now, I don't think that's something that he calls all of us to do, but clearly he called that rich young ruler to do that because he knew that he had a struggle with money, holding on to his money, and that sometimes can get in the way of following Jesus. But prayer, which is what we're going to talk about today, well, that's something that any of us can do. I mean, you could be completely crippled, unable to walk, but you could still pray. You could be struggling with dementia, but still pray. You could be in the hospital on your deathbed, but still pray. There should be nothing that gets in the way of our prayer lives. And if you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that Jesus spent an enormous amount of time praying. In fact, he spent more time praying than almost anything else that he did. He followed the Jewish law of praying three times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And then if you read the gospel lessons, you'll find that sometimes he prayed into the night and prayed all through the night. Jesus was a man of prayer, and he calls us to be a people of prayer. And so now we'll look at the scripture that's listed in your bulletin, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And this is this is Jesus teaching on prayer. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have won their reward. In other words, Jesus is saying, there's some people who just pray, who go out in public and pray so that others can see them and can see what a spiritual person they are. And Jesus said, well, they've already won their reward. Their reward is, a lot of people think they're very spiritual when they're actually not. And then he goes on in verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And I think sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I've often asked people if they'd be willing to pray in public. And, oh, no, 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 please don't call on me, they'll say. Because they think that somehow their prayer needs to be this glorious prayer, a work of art. No. I tell you, there have been times in my life when my prayer has been just a few words. Lord, help me! And God has heard those kind of prayers. And then he goes on in verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask him. Isn't that comforting to know? That God really knows our needs. And sometimes the things that we think we need, we don't really need nearly as much as the things that the Father knows that we need. Verse 9. And in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, you probably have, you're a pretty smart group, but have you noticed that this is a prayer that you can't pray alone in your prayer closet? It's a prayer that must be prayed with others. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins. Lead us not into temptation. So, I really want to emphasize the importance of praying together. It's important to have what some refer to as their prayer closet, where they pour out their hearts before God. But I found as a pastor that the real power of prayer is unleashed when we come together as the people of God and pray together. And so what I've done is I've put together 7 things that will help our prayer lives individually and corporately, so that we're able to follow Jesus in the emphasis that he gave to prayer. Now, before I go to those 7 things, I want to share a few scriptures from the book of Acts that talk about praying together as the body of Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all, say it with me, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts 4:24. Need to give a little update to why this is important. You may remember that Peter and John went to the temple to preach about Jesus. And the Sanhedrin, the Jewish elders, were furious, and they threw them in jail and said, don't you ever go into the temple and preach this Jesus again. And so they're released from prison. What's the first thing they did? They went back into the temple and they preached Jesus. They were called before the elders of Israel again. And this time they realized that they're going to go back and preach Jesus again. And so they warned them and they didn't put them in prison. They released them, and they went home and they told people the body. They told their church members what had happened, and the church members got together and prayed. And while the elders had told them they should not share Jesus anymore, one of the things that they prayed is that they would speak of Jesus with even more boldness. And then this is the result of the prayer that they prayed that day. Acts 4, verse 24. And when they had prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Listen, we're called to be a people of prayer. We need to have a prayer closet where we can go and share our heart with our God. But the real powerful prayer that God wants us to experience is the prayer that we can do together with one another. Things happen when God's people gather for prayer. Things happen when God's people gather to pray. Things happen when God's people gather to pray. Now I want to share 7 things that have helped me to inspire me to have a greater prayer life. And I want to share these with you. And these are all things that I've done. So you can't say to me, yeah, Pastor Bob, but you've never done that. Well, all 7 of these are things that have been important in my prayer life. Number 1, choose a place where you alone can pray with God. And there you can, you know, your heart may be breaking over things. Some of the prayer concerns that we raised this morning, those things break our hearts. And it's good to have a place where we can go, a secret place where we can go. Well, we don't have to worry about people listening in on us and hearing us weep and sometimes scream to God. It's important to have places like that. For me, it's not a very elaborate place. I have my prayer chair, and that's where I go. This morning, about 5 o'clock this morning, I went to my prayer chair, and we have a little puppy dog. He's a Labradoodle. He's only 9 months old, and when I go into my prayer chair, he loves to come up and sit next to me and just sit there while I'm praying. I tell you, it is such a touching thing. I was so touched this morning. His name is Abner, and his name for when I taught at a seminary in Africa, and my number one student, his name was Abner. No, I said Abner, Caleb. And so we named our dog Caleb. And this morning, I laid hands on Caleb, and I prayed for him that he wouldn't run out on the street like he did earlier in the week. And we'll see if I'm trusting that God will answer that prayer. So find a place where you're comfortable, where you can kind of let it all hang out and pray to God. Secondly, pray the scriptures. You know, there's sometimes, because I'm committed to praying every day, sometimes it's like the same old prayers day after day, you know. And I found that I can really spice up my prayer life if I'll pray scriptures. One of the scriptures that I pray often is from the book of Lamentations. Now, that doesn't sound like a very happy kind of prayer, but right in the middle of the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, for great is thy faithfulness, O God. That's where that hymn came from. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah, and that's a prayer that sometimes I sing it. I sing the prayer, and sometimes I speak the prayer. But it's another one that I love to pray is the 23rd Psalm. And just, I need to just adjust it a little bit. Rather than the Lord is my shepherd, Lord, you are my shepherd. And I'm so grateful that you lead me beside still waters and green pastures, etc., etc., etc. And you can take those. And I have one that I pray for my grandchildren. And it's from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And I take Paul's prayer that he prayed to the people in Ephesus, and I simply change it just a little bit so that it's a prayer that I pray for my children and my grandchildren. And I tell you, those prayers are just, you know, to think that you and I can pray the same words that Jesus spoke, the same words that Paul spoke, the same words that the early disciples spoke. Man, I tell you, that just blows me away to think that we can have that kind of connection with our God. Thirdly, find a prayer partner. It's really important to have someone to pray with. Now, that has been easy for me as a pastor because when I go out and do anointings, I never go alone. I always like to have someone to come and be with me and lay hands on the person that we're anointing and pray over them. And I got to tell you about Anna Petrie. Anna Petrie was a really wonderful Christian woman who was one of my prayer partners when I went out to do anointings. And she called me one night at 11 o'clock at night, and she said, Brother Bob, we need to go visit, and I won't mention the name of the person, because she's really, really distressed. And I said, Anna, do you know that it's 11 o'clock at night? Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, well, tell you what, I'll meet you at her house tomorrow at 8 o'clock. How about that? She said, I will see you at her house in 20 minutes. What a wonderful person she was. Man, she kept me straight. And I was a very young pastor back then. Back then when I thought having a full night's sleep was important. But Anna said, no, it's not. Not nearly as important as going and preaching for this woman. So we need to find a prayer partner and pray together with them. I would say at least every other week, and if you could do it once a week, that would be really a good thing. Go on prayer walks. I've pastored two churches where we regularly went out into the community and just walked along and prayed for people. We would stop at bars and we would pray. We would stop at schools and we would pray. We would stop at businesses and we would pray for the effectiveness and the success of those businesses. And it was a thing that we loved to do. Now, we wouldn't make a big deal about it. We wouldn't be like the hypocrites who said, look at me, how I pray. We went out of our way not to let people see us praying. We would keep our eyes open as we were saying prayers so that they would think we were just a few people who were out having a nice walk in the morning. But I tell you, those were really powerful times for me to get out with members of the congregation and do some prayer walking together. Number five, participate in a concert of prayer. Have you ever even heard of such a thing as a concert of prayer? Anyone? Yeah, it was really popular about 20 years ago. And I went to this concert of prayer at Messiah College. And the whole area where they gather, you know, for the basketball team plays and everything, it was just packed with people who were there. There was a leader who What he did was he went around all over the United States, and maybe even outside of the United States, and would do these concerts of prayer. And what happened was we would first of all start by praying a prayer of confession, confessing our sins, and then the second thing we would do is we would confess the sins of the church. And when I was in Africa and did a concert of prayer, that was the part that people there loved to do. They loved to, because we would, what I would do is I would have people stand up and shout their words of confession, confessing the sins of the church. And, you know, in that culture, if you thought the pastor was doing something wrong, you would never say anything to the pastor. But giving them an opportunity to shout the things that they struggled with in that church, they just absolutely loved that. And I've done at annual conference when I was moderator, we had a concert of prayer there, and I've done them in local, and it's just, I've never done one. I've done at least 12 when people haven't come to me afterward and said, man, thank you. That was so powerful. I've never had that kind of experience with God before. We need to have a concert of prayer here. And we need to invite some of our friends and neighbors and people who still have their letter of membership here, but we haven't seen them in a number of years. Invite them to a concert of prayer. Hey, I'll go out and buy donuts if that will help to bring people. Concerts of prayer. Number six, create a prayer room in the church. Now, because we're in a rural setting, that may be a little complicated, because what it requires is leaving the church door open so that people, when they need to pray, can come in and pray. And at one of the churches that I pastored, we had a prayer room. It was back behind the sanctuary. It was just a small room. And we had posted on all four walls of the prayer room prayer concerns. There were people's names. There were businesses that we prayed for. There were missionaries that we prayed for. And people would come in and see what the latest prayer concern was, and they would pray that. Now, one morning, I very early in the morning went in, and sometimes I see people just prostrate themselves on the ground to pray. And I thought, well, nobody's watching me this morning. I think I'm going to try that this morning. It's the only time I did it, because it's very uncomfortable to pray more than 5 minutes when you're stretched out on the ground. Well, this particular morning, someone came early to the church to do something in the church, and she walked into this room and saw me laying on the floor and thought that I had died, and she let out this scream. So that was the only time I ever did that. So you don't have to worry about it here, okay? The final thing is participating in a 24/7 prayer room. I tell you what, I need to tell this story, and I think I have time to do it. Years ago, I helped plant a church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. I was always looking for fresh and new ways of teaching that we mostly, when we, in the first 200 members who became a part of that church, half of them were addicts, were people who had never known Jesus, were people from families who hadn't been a part of a church for two generations. And so I always had to find fresh ways of introducing the gospel to people. And I found out that there was this group of young people in England who decided they were going to get together for 1 month and pray for their friends who were addicts, who had gotten pregnant out of wedlock, who had emotional problems. They decided they were going to get together and they were going to pray for all these people. And, you know, their church let them do it because they said, don't worry, this will last for a day, maybe two. A month went by. They're still in there praying. 2 months went. 2 months went by. They're still there praying. And finally, their parents said, look, you got to stop this praying stuff because it's Christmas. That movement has expanded around the world. It's 25 years since that group gathered somewhere in England. And that movement now is in 150 nations around the globe. We've done two of them, the church that I helped plant. We tried doing those 24/7 prayer gatherings twice. And what is involved is simply getting people to sign up to be willing to pray in a 1 hour slot. And so you need about 60 people who are willing to come and devote an hour to prayer. It was way easier filling the slots at noontime or at 10 o'clock in the morning than it was at 3:30 in the morning. But the average age in this church that I helped plant was 22, and so it was a bunch of young people. And they thought it was great coming and being a part of something where they could stay up all night if they wanted to, you know. And so we did that twice, and just the results of that. I wish I had time to tell some of the stories that came out of that time when we simply came together and prayed together. And it had real power in it. And that movement continues. And I would love to do that here. Well, maybe not here, this location, but in this area. I would love, if you would give me permission, to go to some other pastors in this larger community and talk about doing together corporately with 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 other churches and have a concert of prayer that we might do together, having 24/7 prayer together. I'm sure, I know some of the pastors in this area, and I'm sure some of them would love to join in with us and other churches in doing some of these things. Listen, our brother shared the attempted assassination of our president last night. We've got some trouble. We've got some issues that we need to deal with. And just going home and turning on the tube ain't going to fix anything. Church. We are called to change the world. The early church was accused of being wrong side up. It was just the opposite of that. They were right side up. They were committed to doing what God is calling us to do if we are willing to be followers of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we have someone like Jesus to follow, to be an example, to be this loving presence in our lives, to surround our lives with forgiveness when we mess up, to be there for us no matter what, to be for us and never against us. And Lord, there are just so many people out there that are frustrated and hurting, and they've lost their way, and they're doing all kinds of stuff that is supposed to help them sleep at night. And what they really need is to know Jesus. And it is our responsibility to make him known, not just in this room, but in this community. And Lord, I know that it's easier to do some of the things that I've suggested when we're in a more of a community rather than being out here in the country. But I also know that even out in the bush in Africa, these things had tremendous power. And so we thank you for this day when we can gather together. We thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to be a people of prayer. And we pray that you would show us how we can do a better job of following you. Lord, this is our prayer. This is my prayer for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think the next hymn is 110, right? Yeah, let's stand and sing it. Falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory. Now you know none of us here are faultless, but he's able to see us as faultless people saved by his grace. so that we might live and move and walk and have our being through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people who believe that say, Amen. Amen.
Praise God from whom all mercies flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Go now in peace.
Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go.
Go now in peace.